Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord here today? Yeah, well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to see everybody. It's just a joy to be gathered here together in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll tell you what, Sunday's the best day of our week, right? This is the big event. When we get together, we gather in that name. Amen. Of course, this is our appointed time with the Lord. It's not just a casual thing. It's not about, you know, just we can take it or leave it. How many of you know that our appointments with God are very important? Amen. And so you're here for your appointment, and God's going to show up on your behalf today. Praise the Lord. Well, again, we just welcome those that are visiting Family Church this morning. We're always glad to see and welcome new faces. We know that God's got a plan for your life. You're not here by coincidence. You're not here by chance. You're here because God has an appointment with you, and He's got a plan for your life. He tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, He says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. So God's got a good future in store for you, but you got to know about it. You got to find out about it. And the way we find out about it is we preach the Word of God. Amen. And that's our goal here at Family Church, to tell you the plan that God has for your life right out of the Bible. Amen. And I tell you what, you came in here today, you're stirred up, you're ready, amen, you're hungry for the Word. Church, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting friends feel warm and welcome? That's our job, that's everybody's, you know. We take great measures, to make sure that Family Church is not a cliquey church. You know what I mean? It's not just about pockets of people that, you know, I mean, we need to get out, get to know each other. Amen. It doesn't matter about age, right? It doesn't matter about, you know, who you're familiar with. Get out there, minister to one another. Amen. And let everyone know when they walk through these doors that you're family and that you're loved. For those of you that are visiting today, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. And it's just a joy to have you here. The only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here all the time, right? So folks, let's go ahead. Let's welcome our visitors here today. We're just glad to have you. Praise the Lord. Well, I know you came stirred and ready for the Word. So turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to call this message today, Walking in Divine Favor. Walking in Divine Favor. How many of you could use a shot of divine favor in your life? All right. Well, about 10 of you. Everyone else, you just must have all the divine favor already, and you don't need any more favor. Maybe you're here and you didn't know how to respond because you're not sure what the favor of God is. Well, let me just tell you, it's exactly what it sounds like. God's favor, God's unmerited blessing. God's got a plan for your life. He wants to, the Father God wants to love you. He wants to display His favor to you. Amen. And we're going to talk about how that happens. How many of you know God's favor isn't just random? God's favor doesn't just show up because, you know, it just was your number came up. There is no such thing as your lucky day. All right, God doesn't act randomly. He doesn't act by coincidence. When God acts, He acts on purpose. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, gentlemen, could you bring me down a little bit? I'm feeling pretty loud up here. I don't know if I'm quiet to you, but I'm loud to myself. Can everyone hear me okay? All right, good. Praise the Lord. But when God acts, when He does something, it is on purpose. It's not random. God is a reactive God. He reacts at a matter of our faithfulness. When we obey Him, when we act in faith in His Word, it's not that He just wants to act on our behalf. He has to. He has to. He's a cause and effect God. Amen. When God brings the effect, it's because you got involved somewhere. And here's the good news is that favor is when God treats you better than you deserve or what you could not earn on your own. Amen. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. And let's go start in verse 3. We're going to read verses 3 and 4. Praise the Lord. And we're going to go, we're going to start by reading in the King James. And then I want to share with you several other translations of the Word so you can get an understanding of what God's saying to us here. It says in the King James, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. Well, if something's hanging around your neck and if it's written on your heart, that means you're going to carry it everywhere you go. All right? God says this is so important. Do not lose sight of this. All right? Carry this principle with you all the time. And then verse 4 is the result. Right? Verse 3 was the cause, and now verse 4 is the effect of God when we do what he says. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. How many of you know you don't just need favor with God, even though favor with God is more important than favor with man? But how many of you know you need favor with man? You know, because a man somewhere has a job for you. Amen. There's something, you know, on this earth for you that's within a man's possession, whether it's an employer, right? There's things on this earth that God's going to use people to move into your life, and you need favor with God and man if you're going to walk into these things. Amen. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I want to read you now these verses in several other translations. Go back there to verse 3. Notice here in verse 3, praise the Lord, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Now that's the King James rendering. How many of you know that the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew? It was originally written in a language that is much deeper than our English language, all right? And of course, the translators of the Bible, they had to do their absolute best with a language that has a deeper meaning than just English, all right? And so when this Bible was translated back there in 1611, hey, do you like to party like it's 1611 here today? Hey, praise the Lord. All right, they used the words mercy and truth. In the original Hebrew, our words today for these words would be more like kindness or faithfulness and loyalty. Faithfulness and loyalty. Amen. And so you could say it this way. Let not kindness, faithfulness, and loyalty forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. All right? Loyalty and faithfulness. And so those are the two keys for divine favor in this life. Amen. And so listen to how the Revised Standard Version, which is another a good translation of the Bible. Let me show you. I'll just read it. We don't have that on our screen. We don't have that in our program. But the RSV translates it this way. Let not loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them about your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so will you find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. And you know what repute means? It means reputation. All right, we're going to talk about that. God wants to do a little something for your reputation. Amen. He says you're going to find favor and good reputation with God and man. All right, listen to how the Amplified translates verse 4. So shall you find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight or judgment of God and man. I like that. God wants people to esteem you highly. See, what is that? What is esteem you highly? It means that people favor you. All right, praise the Lord. And we're going to talk about what favor is. Amen. Let me read this in the Living Bible. Verses 3 and 4 in the Living Bible say this. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. If you want favor with both God and man and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. Woo! Praise the Lord. Boy, I tell you what, that just hits home, doesn't it? Don't you think we need a good judgment and common sense? All right. Why? Because that's the kind of person that people want to have around. When you're a person of good judgment and common sense, what does that mean? You're somebody of stability. Somebody who's stable in this life. Amen. Somebody can trust. Amen. All right. And so I'm going to read verses 3 and 4 in a translation called the Good News Translation of the Bible. I like this. It says, never let go of loyalty and faithfulness. Tie them around your neck. Write them on your heart. If you do this, both God and man will be pleased with you. God and man will be pleased with you. They will esteem you. They will favor you. And your reputation will bring more and add to your life. These are the keys to walking in divine favor in your life. So the 10 of you that lifted your hand a moment ago, you know what to do now. The rest of you, you've already mastered this. You know, and of course, there's always ones that you won't raise your hands no matter how much I ask you to. Praise the Lord. That's all right. I'll be honest, myself, personally, I'm not demonstrative. When ministers are preaching and they tell you to repeat something, just like I do all the time, I'll be honest, it annoys me. or they'll say, turn to your neighbor and say this. Woo, I don't turn to my neighbor. I'm just telling it myself. I'm like, okay, I get it. So I know I can be, that kind of curmudgeon myself. All right. Praise the Lord. Not that I'm saying it's a good thing. We got to work on it. Praise the Lord. All right. So notice this. This is the first thing I want to start with here today. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Your reputation is built by what you are faithful to. All right. Your reputation is built by what you are faithful to. Now, you need to know and understand that every single one of us are faithful and loyal to something. All right? Your faithfulness and loyalty is working every moment of every day. We're just not sure if it's to the right things or not. You're loyal to something. There's people that are just downright loyal to the television set. You know, there's people that are downright loyal to the wrong things. You know, people are downright, loyal to cigarettes. Woo, wow. Say, why? Because they keep going back to them. All right. And you say, Pastor, you're stepping on my feet. You're making me mad. No, I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm not trying to criticize you. I'm just talking about we are all loyal to something. You know, and that's just what addiction is, right? It's loyalty or faithfulness to the wrong thing. Faithfulness is something that could hurt you, all right? And of course, there's obviously far worse things than that, but we don't want you to hurt your body. God says it's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, so notice this. First of all, your reputation is built by what you are faithful to. You will be known by what you are faithful to, right? Remember, loyalty and faithfulness are the keys to divine favor, all right? What are you faithful to? We got to find that out, all right? Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. Your reputation is built by what you're faithful to. Faithfulness, are you ready for a definition for faithfulness? It's simply this. Faithfulness is simply what you keep doing over and over. Faithfulness is anything that you just completely, repeat in your behavior. Something that you do over and over and over. I look out and I see many of you, you're here every week. What is that? You're faithful in your church attendance because you're here over and over and over. And when the more things that you're faithful to, the right things that you're faithful to, the more God can add favor to your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you're doing good here this morning. You're giving God an opportunity to bestow favor on your life. Amen. But there's obviously more to it than just attending church. Amen. All right. We have to know that we have to be faithful to the right things. Faithfulness is simply what you keep doing over and over. The things that you keep returning to are the things that you're faithful to. Okay. Faithfulness is simply the things that you are holding on to, the things that get your repeated attention. I like that. Faithfulness is your repeated attention to something. Amen. All right. These things that get your repeated attention is what you will become known for. All right. And I'm going to show you something in the Word of God here today. God must have a good reputation on your life for Him to favor you and to promote you. Do you know that the Bible says, I'm going to show you this. I'll show you this right now. Praise the Lord. Hold your place there in Proverbs chapter 3 and go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3 in the New Testament. I wasn't planning on going here. This is not in the notes. This was not my plan. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. How many of you know God has high standards for those that are going to be ministers? All right. Amen. And so 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 starts to tell us what God demands out of his preachers. Now, if God demands it for his preachers, isn't that what God is setting the bar for all of us? Isn't that an example for what we all should try to be? Amen. But God says in verse 1 here, he says, this is a true saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop, that word bishop is the same as pastor, he desires a good work. A bishop or pastor must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, able to teach. He says, not given to wine, no striker, that means not a fighter, not greedy of filthy lucre or money, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Verse 5, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Look at verse 7. Moreover, the pastor must have a good report of them which are without. Now let me explain what that verse is saying. The good report means a good reputation. And those that are without, that the word without means outside of the church. A pastor must have a good reputation outside of his own church family. Amen. Notice it's not a suggestion, it's a requirement. Notice in all these things and these requirements for a pastor, I'll just tell you, there are 17 qualifications mentioned. And out of those 17, only one has to do with ability at all. That means ability to teach. The other 16 have something to do with the man's reputation. He's got to have his house in order. He's got to have his marriage in order. He can't be a fighter. He can't be a cursing, profane man. Right? All these things have to do with a man's character and how he's viewed by the people. Amen. So God can't promote somebody into that realm of being a minister until their reputation is in order. All right? Don't you think that that same principle would apply to all of us? God's trying to get us to have a reputation that he can promote, that he can bring us up into divine favor. Amen. Now go back over there to Proverbs chapter 3. Oh, glory to God. 10 of you wanted that divine favor. I'm trying to tell you how to get it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. See, the things that get your repeated attention, these are the things that you will become known for. A man's judgment of you will be based on it. God's judgment of you will be based on what you keep going back to. Well, I tell you what, there's some reason to rejoice in there, and there's also some reason there to have righteous fear. Because if you keep returning to the wrong things, you're going to lose God's judgment or his favor for you. Absolutely. You know, people act like, oh, I can just do what I want and there's not going to be any consequences. No, there are consequences. If you destroy your reputation, it's not going to be God's fault. Woo, praise the Lord. But I got good news, all right? If you have been attending to the wrong things today, you can start attending to the right things. Start building that reputation. Let people see that you are faithful to God. Amen. Let the favor of God show up on your life. We're going to talk about what that is. Amen. Notice this. We're still here in Proverbs 3 and verse 4. You can bring up verse 4. Notice this, that you know both God and people want to have favor for you. So notice this. Don't forget this. People are waiting to reward you for being faithful to the right things. They might not even know it, but there is something within the heart of humanity that wants to reward you, that they want to find somebody to reward for doing right. Even if they don't agree with it, even if they themselves aren't living that way, amen, there's something within the heart of people that want to reward you for doing right. And it won't happen overnight, by the way. It won't take just a day or a week or even a month for this to show up. All right? People might resist you at first. They might downright hate you for following God at first. But over time, they're going to see the glow of God on your life. Amen. And so we're just kind of starting out here. People want to reward you for being faithful to the right things, even if they don't fully agree with you. People will reward you with their trust. Amen. Why? Because you're faithful and loyal. All right, we're just kind of starting out here. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about this message because, you know, this morning it was pretty early. It was before 7 a.m., which is really early for me, by the way. You know, some of you, you get up before the sun. I don't, all right? And I woke up, you know, bright and early this morning with these things turning over in my heart. Of course, I had prepared to preach on divine favor, but all of a sudden these statements about loyalty and faithfulness just started to be produced. All right. Amen. And so God has a message for us here today. Praise God. God is so good. All right. People will reward you with their trust, and they will reward you with their willingness to be influenced by you. Do you want to influence people for the gospel, for the kingdom of God? Faithfulness and loyalty is what's going to get it done. Amen. People are ready to envy the person that is constantly faithful to things that produce stability. I'm going to say it again. People are ready to envy the person that is constantly faithful to things that produce stability. Amen. When people feel safe with you, they will esteem you highly. You will become a pillar in their lives. There is something in all of us that is desiring to be close to someone who's stable, someone that will help prop up our lives, a pillar in our lives to stand on. Glory to God. Amen. But they got to know they're safe with you. They got to see stability in you. They got to see your repeated attention going back to the right things over and over and over again. This will help you say, Pastor, I wanted to swing off the chandeliers today. You know, I wanted to just, you know, get up and run around. I'll tell you what, this will save your life. Some of you aren't being faithful, and you're wondering where the favor is. Some of you think you're, you know, you have all this faith, but I'll tell you, the root word of faithfulness is faith. If you want your faith to work, you got to be faithful to the right things. Amen. All right. Oh, glory to God. You know why people will esteem you highly or feel safe with you? Because when you have shown yourself faithful over a period of years and years, people will learn that they can't change you, and they will want you to change them. Glory to God. When you have been faithful and stable over a period of years and years, and they realize that they can no longer change you, they will want you to change them. Some of you look downright miserable about it. Some of you look like you put kerosene on your Rice Krispies this morning. Pastor, let's go back to the singing. Let's go back to the praising. Listen, when you walk out of these doors, you need to know what to do. You need to understand if you want the favor of God, and we're going to talk about what the favor of God is here in just a moment, and you want it, you got to do what God says it takes. Amen. All right. Amen. Glory to God. People will learn they can't change you, and now they will want you to change them. All right. People love someone who is predictably good. Predictably good. I'm going to explain what that means. They admire you when you are faithful to the right things. See, when you do that, it pushes on their heart to see you serve God day in and day out. How many of you would like to see more people pushed into the kingdom of God? The way your loved ones, the way your family, those that you love the most and you want to see them in the kingdom of God, what's going to push them in, year out, faithfulness to God. When they start to see, there's no change in that person. When they see the glow of God on your life, they're going to say, that's the right way. And if you want to influence them, you got to put your repeated attention on the right things, the things of God, and we'll talk about what those things are. Because your repeated attention is what is giving people your reputation. Where is your repeated? Where is your predictability? That's what faithfulness is that you can predict someone's behavior. Amen. You know? But if you're unpredictable in the sense that, you know, put it this way, you know, when I use myself as an example, I'm not doing so out of, you know, pride or arrogance. But how many of you were truly surprised that I was here today? Was anybody truly surprised that I was here? Were any of you surprised to see Pastor Brad here this morning? Or were you surprised to probably see most of the people sitting around you? Were you surprised at all? No, because you could predict their behavior because they're faithful. And they have a reputation of being in the house of God when the house of God, listen, we're always happy to see anyone that walks through our doors. But you know what? Let's get to the point where it doesn't surprise people so much to see us worshiping God. Amen. You know, how many of you aren't going to be surprised to hear that my wife has been praying? Does it surprise you to hear that she leads our prayer team? It doesn't surprise you at all. Why? Her behavior, her faithfulness is predictable. These people that are serving in our children's ministries, these ushers, amen, people, you know, these musicians up here, you see them every week because you can predict their faithfulness. They get a reputation for their serving. Sometimes we don't think as much as we should about, man, they are there every week. Do you realize they get together on Thursday nights and they got to learn these songs and go through that? They're doing that for you and for me. Amen. You know, predictable behavior. What would predictable behavior do for your boss at work? When your boss says, I can always know they're going to be there. They're always going to be on time. They're always going to put in a good day's work. They're always trustworthy. See, that builds reputation, and therefore it builds favor. Glory to God. Amen. See, we have to know that people love God loves someone who is predictably good. Not a surprise what they're doing. People admire you when you're faithful to the right things. It pushes on their heart to see you serve God day in and day out. If you have children that are fully grown and you want to see them move towards the kingdom of God and maybe they're off and stray right now, you know what's going to push on their heart, parents? Is you sold out to God. When they see you year in, year out, amen. When you are, you know, constantly lovingly, you know, warning them, talking to them, loving on them, telling them about the things of God, it will push on their hearts. Praise God. That's why so many times when parents come to me and say, Pastor, my grown child is wayward and they're not serving the things of God. What do I do? I always look at them and I tell them, I say, you be faithful. You be sold out. You need to be sold out to the things of God if you want to see your children come around. Well, glory to God. Why? Because the conscience of a child, even a grown child, is designed to respond to the desires of the parents. It will speak to the heart of a child knowing that their parent has a desire for them to be in the house of God. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. People love people who are predictably good. Because those people, you cannot deny their character. You can't lay an accusation to them. And you cannot bring that person down. You know, when I think about that, I think about my grandma Jenny. My grandmother, she's 96 years old. You know, I saw her last week over there. She's in the assisted living facility up there on Southwestern Drive. And I went in there. And you know, that woman, for decade after decade after decade, wakes up every morning, prays for all of her kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids. Her message has always been the same. Her prayers and faithfulness have always been the same. You cannot deny that woman's character. You could not lay an accusation against her. If someone tried to, everyone would look around and say, that's not true. And you cannot keep that woman's faith and persistence down. She is predictably good, and everyone respects her for it. Amen. Glory to God. And so we want to be that kind of person, all right? Faithfulness is not determined by days, weeks, and months. It is what you will do year after year. How many of you know God's not a slot machine? God's not bringing up triple sevens today or triple diamonds or double cherries or whatever it is. You know, some people, they want to try God. They want to come up to the lever. They want to try to pull it a couple of times. But if the fortune doesn't come out in a timely fashion for them, they give up. God's not a slot machine. He is a marathon spectator. He wants people that are willing to run the long haul for him. Amen. Glory to God. Faithfulness isn't determined by days, weeks, and months. It's year after year in what you do. Know this, whatever you are faithful to will pay you back. Your life right now is a matter of what you've been faithful to, and it's payback. See, some of you are like, glory to God, that's exciting. And then in other things we say, oh no. Because if you've been sowing into the wrong things, that wrong thing will pay you back. Yes, it is. Whatever you're faithful to will pay you back. Whether good or bad, your habits are repaying you. Listen to this. You will reap from the fields of what you're faithful to. Think about it. Think about even basic things here. All right, when I say these things, I know it gets people mad and they think I'm personally attacking anybody. This isn't personally attacking anybody, it's to help you. All right, how many of you know cigarettes will pay you back? Say, Pastor, what do you mean they pay me back? They're getting more and more expensive. No, they will pay you back with a cough. They will pay you back with less energy, less health, because you keep repeatedly going back to them. They will steal from your life. We know that now. All right, we're well aware of the results of that. That'll pay you back. How about alcohol? Alcohol will pay you back. It'll pay you back in the damage to your body, to your liver. It'll damage your mind. It pays you back because you keep going back to it. Whatever has your repeated attention pays you back. All right, see, that's why some of your marriages are struggling. Because you have not given it your repeated attention. Or you haven't given it the right repeated attention. See, if you will sow into your marriage, it'll pay you back. It'll pay you back. It'll pay you back with joy. It'll pay you back with peace. It'll pay you back with other stuff that we can't mention here today. Woo! Yeah, it'll pay you back. But you better sow into your marriage. You know, I heard a minister saying, you know, he said this, you know, so many times when it comes to relationships, marriage, they look, you know, at someone else's, what they got going on, they think the grass is greener on the other side. You know, and he said this, water your own grass. Take care of what you have. Praise the Lord. Why? Faithfulness is repeated attention. See, the more I give repeated attention to the house of God, it pays me back. How many of you believe the Bible pays you back? Amen. How many of you believe that prayer pays you back? How many of you believe forgiveness? Okay, you can stop raising your hands now. Because you're like, I know you're just, you want, it's good to be responsive. We talk about it all the time. But I'm not trying to work you out here. You know, prayer pays you back. How many of you know forgiveness pays you back? How many of you know givenness pays you back? I'm a giver and a forgiver. You know, it almost sounds like a Steve Miller Band there. He says something else. But we could put in a different verse, right? I'm a giver, a forgiver. I guess it sounded better in my mind. But I'm a giver and a forgiver. Well, you know, that's interesting, though. Your giving won't work unless you're forgiving. You can give to God all you want, but if you're not a forgiver, it ain't going to work. Some of you are having a bad day. You know why you're having a bad day? Because you didn't forgive that person. You didn't forgive. See, we said, you know, Proverbs 3:3 talks about, of course, we know the Hebrew is loyalty and faithfulness, but those words also do mean mercy and truth. The more you sow into mercy, right? The Bible says the fruits of righteousness are sown into those that make peace. Some of you need to make peace in your marriage, and I sense it and see it here today. I see it on you right now that you came in here without peace in your marriage and your relationship. And I can tell you what, you better make that peace. Your giving isn't working for you until you're a forgiver. Amen. Why? Because forgiveness pays you back. Mercy pays you back. Being in the house of God, look at these people that are all serving here today. They're just repeatedly predictable in that good behavior. That's going to pay you back. It's going to pay you back. Praise the Lord. Say, well, Pastor, it better pay me back this, that, and this. No. You don't set the bar of what comes back to you. All right? And if you're sitting there saying, well, not enough has come back to me, well, you got the wrong heart. And you just gave your answer why it hasn't come back to you. You got to be sincere, sweet, low maintenance. You know, I will say this about my wife. She is the most low maintenance person that I could ever imagine being married to. I must be extremely high maintenance. Katie, am I high maintenance? Nope. No, all right, I'm clear. You heard it here first. You know, but she's low maintenance. Some of you are trying to maintain and run the life of your spouse. Oh, you can't do that. You know, at some point you're going to have some trust, and you're going to want to root for them and give them things that they enjoy in this life. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, man. That statement, how can I say this? We have some younger ears here. But some men are here today, and you're wondering why you're not receiving in the conjugal relationship. We're going to obey God here today. Some of you are wondering why you're not, you know, receiving in the conjugal relationship. I'll tell you what, the reason is because you have not sown into your wife. You have not been repeatedly showing your attention there. So many guys, listen, folks, I'm just going to talk real. People come and they sit in my office, they get marital counseling, and a lot of times that comes up. And it's mostly men, because men, you're dogs. You know? And they'll be like, I don't get it, this, and this. And I'm like, I can tell you why you don't get it. Yeah, you better learn to put her first and not you first, guys. Oh, I'm trying to be so diplomatic. But you know what? If our kids don't hear it in church, where are they going to hear it? We want them to hear it on TV. You want them to hear it from a video game or something? You say, can they hear that stuff from video games? They sure can nowadays. They shouldn't if you're doing your job as a parent. Anyhow, everything will pay you back, all right? So what if you're not a faithful person? Let's show you the result of that, all right? And so go over to Proverbs chapter 25. You're right there in chapter 3. Let's read another verse over here. This is what God says you are if you have repeated actions in the wrong direction. All right, you're a repeated attention. You getting some help out of this today? Glory to God. Faithfulness. It'll pay you back. Everything that you're faithful to is paying you back some way. And I can guarantee you this. You know, the church will pay you back better than the bar. The church will pay you back better than profane language. It'll pay you back better than the dirty movies. It's worth it to be pure with God. Proverbs 25 and verse 19, look at this. Proverbs 25, 19, it says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Isn't that interesting? Confidence in an unfaithful person in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Okay, will a foot out of joint kill you? Will a broken tooth kill you? No, but it'll feel like it does. At least with a major injury, just puts you out of your suffering. I say that tongue in cheek, you understand. You know, but a broken tooth is a constant annoying throb. A foot out of joint means that you cannot run as fast as you could otherwise. Think about this. An unfaithful man in a time of trouble or a time of need is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Notice this. Faithfulness is supposed to be constant and not based on whether times are good or times are hard. See, there's a lot of people, they can be faithful when things are going well. But are you faithful in a troubled time? Giving us an idea of what those troubles are actually trying to do in your life. They're trying to steal your faithfulness. Didn't Jesus tell us that over in Mark chapter 4 with the parable of the sower? He says, but when trials and troubles arise for the word's sake, people get offended because time gets tough on them. But God says, if you're faithful, your faithfulness is constant whether things are good or whether things are hard at the moment. Yeah. You know, anyone can be faithful when life is going good. Boy, I have seen that so many times as a pastor. People will come in. They'll give their lives to Jesus. They'll be excited about what God wants to do in their life. And then all, you know, ooh, pastor, this is so great. We just love it here. We love being in church. We love this. And on the inside, I think, trouble's coming. See, Jesus talked about people like that. He said, those are the ones that receive the seed of the word on stony ground. It says that, remember, Jesus said they receive the word with joy, but they're immediately offended because trials and troubles come after them to steal the word in their life. See, trouble is going to come to all of us in some form at some time. Your faithfulness is not supposed to change just because things got hard. And that's what's troubling a lot of your marriages. You change when things get tough. You know, I've said this for years, and I'm going to say it again. If I was going through the toughest day of my life right now, or if someone just gave me $1 million, I hope that you wouldn't even know the difference. You wouldn't even know. I could about ask you, we could ask for hands here. And over these last 12 plus years, you know, that we've been here together, how many of you could remember one crisis that I faced? You're all sitting there like, I don't know. I have no idea. All right? But let me tell you what, there's been plenty of troubles over this last 12 years. Plenty of hard times, but you didn't know it. Because faithfulness is a flat line. It does not go up or down based on whether things are hard or good. See, that's covenant. That's faithfulness to you. You don't need to come to a church and the pastor take the pulpit and he's shaking and disturbed by the troubles. You know, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it. At least that's my goal, that you wouldn't know it. Amen. Because, you know, in a marriage, the same is true. Some of you, you know, oh, you know, you're faithful and happy and you're sowing into your marriage as long as things are going good, as long as money is coming in, but things get tough and then you become a different person. See, circumstances don't change people. People change circumstances. Hard times don't change me. I will change the hard times. I will stay faithful. What did Job say? Job said, he said, I will wait until my change comes. Amen. What is that over there? Job 14:14? Is that it? All right, I'm getting some nods from the scholars. Can we bring that up? Now, how many of you know Job was going through some excessively hard times? I love what Job said in Job 14:14. I believe that's the right verse. Let's go ahead and try it out. Yeah, this is what Job said in the midst of losing everything. He said, if a man dies, shall he live again? The answer to that question is yes, Job. Jesus did it for us 2,000 years ago. Amen. And Job said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. That's a man of God right there. He didn't even know God like we do today, but he just said, listen, all this tough time that I'm going through, these things aren't going to change me. I will wait until these things change. Praise the Lord. Are you becoming a different person because something hard happened? Does it change your loyalty all of a sudden? Does it change your faithfulness to God because something happened that kind of took the wind out of your sails? Faithfulness makes you flat-lined. I don't change. I'm not going to change, meaning that's my goal. Believe me, I'm tested just like you're tested. You know, and I understand those feelings can be so strong against you. Don't let them change. Your vows in your marriage did not change because you're going through a tough time. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know how hard it is. You don't understand. You know what? I might not, but I know who does. I know someone that walked through a much harder time than you ever walked through. Glory to God. And he came out on the other side. Amen. It says, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame, enduring the cross, he has now sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. He went through it all. He went through the shame. He went through the nails. He went through the pain. He went through descending into hell. And he came out on the other side, and it says, who for the joy that was set before him. Jesus' joy was not stolen because he had to go to that cross. It did not change him, but it certainly changed us. Some of you are changing because the time is getting tough. You do not change your faithfulness just because something came and knocked you off your rails. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't be, we're back over here now in Proverbs 25:19. Don't be the foot out of joint or the broken tooth. See, that's what we need to find out today. When times get tough around you, you know, for people that are in your life, to them, are you the pillar or are you the broken tooth? Are you Mr. or Mrs. Stability, predictable, stable, safe? Or are you the broken tooth or the foot out of joint? You know, I'll be honest. There's been times, of course, over the years, this church has walked through times. Every church will. And there's been many, many faithful. But there's been times that we've called on people when this church had a need. And they become the broken foot or the broken tooth or the foot out of joint. You don't want to be that person. And then so many people wonder why the favor of God isn't just falling out of heaven on them. Faithful man in a time of trouble. Yeah, faithfulness is constant, not fading in times of trouble. Or as soon as the trouble is all gone and things get good again. Meaning you don't just bring your faithfulness back just because things are easy now. You better stay faithful when someone has helped pick you up in a troubled time. There's going to be people that pick you up in a time of trouble. You better stay faithful to those people. You should stay faithful to a church, to a pastor that picks you up in a time of trouble. Amen. Glory to God. So what is the result of this kind of faithfulness? Let's get to the fun part now, right? You're back there in Proverbs chapter 3. Go back there. Go back to verse 4. Because remember the cause and effect relationship? See, now you're faithful, you're loyal. Now here comes the payback. Glory to God. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. What is the result of this kind of faithfulness? It's favor. What is the favor of God? Favor is when God takes you out of the back of the line and moves you to the front of the line. Amen. God, when the favor of God is on you, it's when you get noticed when no one else could notice you. Yeah. The favor of God is when you are rewarded with things that you didn't deserve. Yes. Yes. Amen. Favor is when somebody of authority chooses you over somebody more qualified. Yes. What are you going to do when you're not qualified for that promotion? Favor. What are you going to do when you're not qualified for that home you're believing for? Favor. Favor is when you can afford something that you couldn't afford. Does that make sense? Favor of God is when he supernaturally elevates you to a place that you could have never gotten to yourself. Amen. Glory to God. Favor is when you glow to the people around you and they don't even know what that glow is. People should be around you and say, you know what, there's something about that person. I don't even know what it is, but it's the glow of God. Amen. Favor is when you get things you couldn't afford. God's favor surrounds you like a shield, and he treats you better than you could deserve. The favor of God because you were faithful. 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 Predictable. Week in, week out. Month in, month out. Year in, year out. People will look, and you will influence them into the kingdom of God because you're faithful. You keep going back to the right things. Amen. Now let's talk about what loyalty is. Are you ready? That's faithfulness. Now in these closing minutes, let's talk about what loyalty is, because they're very similar. But loyalty goes one step further. All right? Are you ready for this? Amen. Loyalty is discovered by what you do and do not defend. Let me say it again. Loyalty is a matter of what you do or do not defend in this life. All right? You are loyal to your spouse when you defend them. Boy, it makes me think of a verse. Sounds really familiar. Wasn't planning on going there. Can you bring up Psalm 5 and verse 11? All right. How many of you believe God is loyal to you? Why is he loyal? Boy, it's the same 10 people, man. I tell you what. Pastor, you said a minute ago to stop raising our hands. I know, a whole bunch of mixed messages with the raising hands thing here today. Psalm 5:11. God is faithful to us, but are you faithful to him? Watch this verse. But let all those that put their trust in God rejoice. See, that's what we were doing during praise and worship. Let them sit there and be silent for joy. Oh, wait, I misread the verse. See, you thought that's what it said. Let them shout for joy because you defend them. What does God do? He defends us. Why does he defend us? Because he's loyal to his sons and daughters. See, what you defend is what you're loyal to. Amen. Let them also that love God's name be joyful in him. See, that's why we don't have any services that are like a funeral around here. You know, you shouldn't come to church and you know, feel like something died. You understand that you should come to a church with the feeling that Jesus is alive. Amen. That the resurrection took place. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 12. I think this is interesting. Bring up verse 12. For you, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, he will compass him as with a shield. He will surround you with favor. What does favor surrounding you look like? Boy, I tell you what, fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. What does it look like? It looks like a happy marriage. It looks like a promotion at work. Amen. It looks like people taking notice of you. It elevates you above and beyond your qualifications. Amen. Why? Because you're loyal. What makes you loyal? Because of what you defend. Do you defend the wrong things in your life? Or do you defend the right things in your life? See, anybody that comes to me and talks bad about you, I will defend you. I will defend you. Even in times where you, that person might be right. There's been plenty of times where people outside this church have come to me to talk about somebody that's in this church, and you know, and they're just, you know, harassing or they're very negative or whatever. And that person might even have some points about somebody in this church. You know, but I still defend you. I still defend you. I won't sit there and let somebody run your face into the mud. I'll defend you. Amen. You know, I won't let somebody, you know, take the word of God and run it through the mud. I'll defend God's word. Amen. No, I don't go look and pick fights and try to, you know, but I will defend you. I would certainly hope that it's reciprocal, that you defend your pastor. You know, people are going to say things, they're going to make up vicious rumors or whatever, but loyalty is defensive. Amen. You better, you know, learn what to defend. But a lot of times, you know, I'll sit down with people and, you know, they'll sit down, their life will be in shambles, and they'll sit down with with me as their pastor, or maybe they're new to this church. You know, they'll put, you know, things down, what's going on in their life. And as a pastor, the Bible says it's my job to pick up the things that are hurting their life and to tell them how to do differently. It's not out of attacking, it's out of love. Amen. You know, we need to love the correction of God. And so I'll say, well, I notice you're doing this. I notice you're doing that. Pastor, you know, we're struggling in our finances, but we go to the casino 2 times a week. You know, and I'll say, well, listen, what's this, you know, what's all this that you're doing at the casino? You know, you're having trouble paying rent or paying your mortgage or paying your car, but I notice you're going in there. Of course, that's a problem. well, Pastor, I mean, we just want to have some fun, and we just want to do this, and we want to do that. See, what they're doing is they're defending the problem. See, boy, we just keep bringing things back to marriage again here today. See, you know, you can't have a snotty attitude. You can't sit there and rip into your spouse and defend, well, I did that because you did this. See, you're defending the wrong actions. See, if you defend the wrong thing, you're being loyal to the wrong thing. I see some spouses giving the elbows. It's always my favorite thing, you know. So see, folks, let me just teach you the trick. Just smile, say amen, and we won't know that you're guilty. But that scowl on your face tells me I'm hitting it right on the nose. You know, oh, Pastor, you know, you're making me mad. Well, get in line. I love you. That's why I preach the word. You know, I'm not trying to harp on you or criticize you. You got to get these things. You cannot defend the wrong things. You cannot defend that attitude. You know, remember what the three most important words in marriage are. And it's not, I love you. It is, I am wrong. It's absolutely right. You want to have heaven on earth in your home? Say, I am wrong more than you say, I love you. Say, oh, come on. No, what are the three most important words, you know, with God? You can tell God you love him all day. What did Jesus say over there in John 15:15? He said, if you love me, do the word. You know, you can tell, you know, God, I love you, but continue to do wrong. He don't care how many times you tell him, because he don't believe you. God doesn't believe a word you say. He only believes what you do. Oh, God, I love you. Jesus said that. That was a verse that changed my life around. Luke 6:46, he said, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? You know, people all over, Christianity has become this cesspool of believing that you can, you know, call Jesus Lord and not live for him. It doesn't exist. That's not Christianity. That's very shallow. You know, when you've missed it with God, I am wrong. When you've missed it with your spouse, I am wrong. All right? Do you think we should just all come down to the altar right now? And just, you know, just fill this space, everyone on their face, God, I'm wrong. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds so easy. Not to the stubborn-minded. Do you know that Paul, it was back there in the Old Testament, it was with Samuel, the prophet. He said, stubbornness is as the rebellion of witchcraft. Stubbornness. You know what stubbornness is? The unwillingness to say you're wrong. Oh, Pastor, do you say you're wrong? All the time. I tell on myself in front of this entire congregation all the time. You know, if you've missed it, just say, I'm wrong. Go to your spouse. I'm wrong. God, I was wrong. Come on now. It'll change your life. All right? Don't defend the wrong thing. Amen. Yeah, see, if you won't defend it, you aren't loyal to it. If you don't defend your spouse, you're not loyal to your spouse. If you don't defend your church, you're not loyal to your church. If you don't defend your pastor, if you don't defend your employer, you're not loyal to them. Well, what are you going to do when someone in your life doesn't make it easy to defend them? Well, you don't defend somebody because they deserve it. You defend them because of the relationship you have with them. Yep. Oh, I'm starting to convict myself now. Praise the Lord. This preaching is as much for me as it is for you. Glory to God. If you associate with something that is willing to harm whatever your loyalty is to, you aren't loyal to it. I will not associate with anybody that wants to harm my family. Meaning, they can't run my family down and then, you know, me spend time with them and act like it didn't happen. I can forgive them, but I'm not going to associate with them. Listen, you understand forgiveness and trust are two different things. Forgive everybody, trust nobody. You know, it sounds, you know, kind of like the motto of the Navy SEALs. Well, wait, maybe not. Maybe not that extreme. What is the motto of the Navy SEALs? Be polite, be courteous, be professional, but have a plan to kill everyone you meet. That is their motto, but I'm saying that for the joke. No, just because, you know, what are they saying? Well, we're going to be good to everybody, but that don't mean we trust everybody. Listen, I'll be good to everybody. That doesn't mean everybody gets my trust. All right? If they're talking in a way that's trying to harm you or, you know, whatever you are supposed to be loyal to, I don't associate with somebody that's harming. Like, when people speak against my pastor, all right, I defend him. Amen. I'll be loyal to him. Praise the Lord. Thank God. You know why? Because we aren't our own fruit. You understand? You know, we are, all of us, myself included, we are fruit on someone else's vine. You know, we are all the result of somebody else that has poured into our life. Maybe our parents, amen, our pastors, our leaders, and so on. You know, but if you won't defend them, you're not loyal to them. And if you associate with something that is willing to harm them, you're not loyal to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we'll end with this. Go over, you're in Proverbs still, go over to Proverbs 19 in verse 22. Faithfulness and loyalty. What's the result? Favor. What's the result of you being faithful? Boy, listen to that thundering response. Man, a life, I could hear a gnat over there, you know, rubbing his legs together. What is the result of faithfulness? Favor. What is the result of loyalty? Favor. You know, when God moves you up in line, amen, when things you could have never deserved start coming to your life, when your reputation, people start to esteem you because the favor of God is on you. And they no longer want to change you, they want you to change them. Glory to God. I am telling you today by the Spirit of God, there are loved ones in your family that are going to see your faithfulness. And even though right now they are rejecting the plans and purposes for God in their life, your faithfulness will be the motivator. It'll be the catalyst. It will push them into the kingdom of God because they could not deny your character any longer. The other shoe never dropped. They saw the glow of God on your life and now they want it for themselves. See, they're going to get so tired from running from God, they're going to look at your life and say, I'm going to run with them. They won't try to change you any longer. They'll ask you to change them. Glory to God. Proverbs 19, 22. Can you go ahead and bring it up in the Amplified? I love what it says in the Amplified. That which is desired in a man is loyalty. That word man means a person. And so what does the Bible say that people are looking for in you? That which is desired in you, in me, is loyalty and kindness. Kindness. Remember that? Remember that you actually smile at people? Speak softly. Remember when you just were nice to people? You know, you wouldn't think that you'd have to remind Christians so often, be nice. Be nice. And if your response, are you ready? Come on, you married people. You ever said that? Be nice. And then you say, I am nice. Ever been there before? If your response is, I am nice, you surely are not nice. See, you had two out of the three words correct. You said, I am nice, when you should have said, I am wrong. Honey, I am wrong. Hey, could you? I am wrong. Hey, would you? I am wrong. Of course, I'm being dramatic, but it'll change your life. If you learn to humble yourself, the Bible says God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the stubborn. He resists the stubborn. The word is proud there, but it means stubbornness. That which is desired in a man is loyalty and be nice. And his glory and delight are in his giving. You could also say it this way, and his glory and delight are in his forgiving. But a poor man is better than a liar. That's a different sermon for a different day. That which is desired in you, what people are looking for, is loyalty. What God is looking for is loyalty. God wants your reputation to be loyal. He wants your reputation to be nice, kind, faithful, repeated attention to the right things. Amen. It'll get the favor of God on your life. You know, that fight that you're having with your spouse, it ain't worth it. You know, that brings up a verse in my heart. I think it's Proverbs 19:19. Just to show you why it's not worth having that fight. See, it'll cost you something. We were right there. We were in Proverbs 19:22. Bring up three verses. A man of great wrath or anger shall suffer the penalty. For if you deliver him from the consequences, he will feel free to cause you to do it again. Can't deliver people from the consequences. Sometimes you got to let them face the music. But anyway, the first part of that verse is what was playing in my heart. A person of great temper will suffer penalty. The word penalty there in Hebrew means a financial fine, meaning it will cost you financially to fight with your spouse. It will cost, or to have any anger, wrath, temper issues. You know, when you lose your cool, it's going to cost you something. It might not be that day. It might cost you something months down the road and you didn't even make the connection, because there's no time in the realm of the Spirit. And you better know and understand it's going to cost you. Does it cost you to have a bad attitude? Be nice. I am nice. Did you get something out of this here today? Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. And Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. Father, you're faithful and loyal to us because you defend us. Father, we're going to be faithful. We're going to be stable and safe. And Father, we understand that our faithfulness will help push others into the kingdom of God. Father, they will see you on our lives and they will want to make a change. And Father, people that at one time in our life tried to change us, they will now come to us and say, help me change. Father, you are so faithful and good. Father, we give you all the praise and glory in this place. Father, I thank you for every home, every person, every household that is represented here today. And Father, I just call your blessing upon each one. Father, I pray that you would remind us of this word. It'll keep us busy for life. And Father, you are so faithful and good to us. We give you all the praise and glory. Now, with all heads bowed and every eye closed, before we dismiss, I have to ask you the most important question anyone will ever ask you. You know, we have visitors here today. You know, we have to give an opportunity every service for people to know Jesus. And so let me ask you that important question. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you personally invited him into your heart? You know, a lot of people, they say, well, I've been good, I've been nice, I've never hurt anybody. Well, I'm certainly glad for that, but that is not what saves you. You know, some people, they say, well, I was raised in a Christian home, or, you know, I go to church on Christmas and Easter, or that's my tradition. You know, traditions don't save you. The Bible tells us exactly what saves us. It's found in Romans 10:9. It says, if a person will confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if they will believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Notice it says you have to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from your sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. You know, and the Bible tells us over there in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when people sin, They become divided from God. And the only way to heal that divide is to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. And the Bible just told us how to do that. You go to Him personally and you invite Him into your heart. You take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You believe what God did for you on the cross, that Jesus died on that cross and He rose again 3 days later to be your Savior. But now God wants you to tell Him that you believe it. And so with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I've never invited Him into my heart. And today's the day I want to do that. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to ask you to meet with me in, you know, some other room of the church or anything like that. But right there in your seat, if you'd say, Pastor, that's me, I'm going to simply ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And right there in your seat, I'm going to lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And you can pray right along with us. And right there in your seat, make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? I see that hand. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else before we pray? If you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to make Jesus my Lord. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else before we pray? God loves you. He's not mad at you. He wants to save you. He doesn't want to hurt your life. He's got good plans for you. But you have to be saved. Is there anyone here today? Anyone else before we pray? Maybe you're here and I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. You know, let's give this invitation as well. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I am saved. I've clearly made Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life, but I'd like to rededicate my life to Him today. I haven't been living the way I know I should. And I don't mean you just made a mistake and, you know, you made it right. But I mean, if you really feel like you've gotten off track and you need to rededicate your life to Him today, you can go ahead and lift your hand too. Is there anyone here? I see several hands across the congregation. You can put them down. God loves you. His mercy is new for you today. But we just got to go to God. And remember, we say, I'm wrong. And God hears us. And He gives grace to us because we humbled ourselves before Him. Let's all go ahead and pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, pray this prayer out of your heart. It's not just my prayer. It's right out of the Bible. It's what God tells us to do to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Speak these words out of your mouth. You can't just think them in your mind. Let's all pray this together. Everyone repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that You raised Him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. I dedicate myself to live for You, to please You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Glory to God. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet as we get ready to dismiss. Folks, if you're here and you're visiting Family Church today, after we dismiss, I'm going to be down here in front for just a few minutes. I do have an appointment, folks. Please know that in services, if you see me leave right away, it's not because I'm running away from you. All right? You might want to run away from me, but I'm not going to run away from you. Praise the Lord. And so I'm going to be up here. Please come and introduce yourself. It's such an honor to have you here today. And so I do take appointments. I meet with people in the church, you know, to help them after most services. But I want to have a chance to meet and greet with you. That would be great. Let's just give the Lord the praise and the glory, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we just praise You today. We glorify You. We magnify You. Father, You are faithful. You are good. We give You all the praise. We give You all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone shouted, Amen. You